time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yes, yes, yes. We are back. Well, I'm back. Ali is away. He will be back soon. But in the meantime, in between time, it is you and I hope you're good. I hope you're feeling good. Matter of fact, how are you feeling? Let me know. Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's good to hear. Absolutely. Yeah. You're right. It is May. It don't feel like May as much. You are absolutely right. Yeah. Temperature-wise, it's still kind of touch and go. Still time to touch and go. We ain't really heat up yet. But I'm not mad. I'll be totally honest with you. I'm not mad. You know, it's been cool. It's been cool, literally. But yeah, that's what's up. Did y'all have a good old Cinco de Mayo? Did you enjoy yourselves? Did y'all, you know, last time we spoke, it was Cinco de Mayo. I hope you enjoyed yourself. But, you know, I've been good. Happy belated Mother's Day to the mothers. You know what I mean? Everything good with y'all. Sorry, Sixers fans. Shout out to the Knicks. The Knicks done swept them Sixers. I think last time we were talking, the Knicks had just won maybe one or two games, but yeah, they swept the Sixers up off their feet, got them up out of there. That was quick. Well, now they got a little time to rest and wait for who's coming up out of that. The Detroit-Cleveland series, I believe. We'll see what's going on over there. As far as brooms go, the Thunder swept the Lakers. A lot of sweeping going on. I guess it's late spring cleaning. A lot of dustpans being used. Or you want to keep it old school, super old school, a record sleeve. You know what it up? An album cover. Get that dust out of there. Speaking of dust, is it over for LeBron? Is it the end of an era? Is LeBron gonna retire? It's tough. It is tough to watch old LeBron. Like, I've seen LeBron since the beginning of his career, and he's always been so dominant. You know, he's a generational talent. And, you know, Father Time is one of the ultimate generational talents, and LeBron is battling that man. He's not who he once was. So it's interesting to see the decline of a champ, of one of the best. You know, to see LeBron get swept in the playoffs. Is this the second time? I'm not sure, but LeBron getting swept in the playoffs. And all the questions is, so what you thinking? What's next? Is this the end? You know, because I think he said a couple months ago, he said, look, he might not do the retirement tour. I remember me and Ali were here talking about that and saying how much money there is on the table for the retirement tour to tee that up. Say, hey, listen, this is the last hurrah. Let's go get them checks. Let's have the ride off into the sunset where they could throw the confetti. Let's get our confetti run, you know. And who knows? He said, you know, if he feels like he's not really into the process of it all, if he's not in love with the process, it's going to be hard for him to love the game. If he cheats the process, you know, like meaning he's one of them guys that's getting to the arena 3 hours ahead of time before practice just to do whatever physical training, things of that nature, just to get him ready for practice. And then he's there before. Like, if he's just showing up right before practice, he's shortchanging the game, at least in his mind, you know. So it'll be interesting, man. I mean, you know. Yes, it's just wild to see people in their twilight, you know. I mean, especially if it's not going out on top, which is rare and maybe strategic and savvy, but you know, this is the reality of life, you know? And the thing is, there's a new generation of stars in the league. You know, you got Anthony Edwards, you got Victor Wembanyama. You got Shea. You got who else? Got Brunson. Why not? You got Halliburton. You got, I guess Tatum is still, you know, Tatum is still part of that young crop. You know, and on and on and on and on and on. It's a new generation of cats ready to take the mantle, take it on and keep moving. Luka, you know, all of that. So, you know, we'll see what happens, what he will say, what will his decision be. You know, I'm curious if LeBron goes, what's the fate of Bronny? You know, your pops ain't there. You know what I'm saying? Like, are they going to have as much patience for you? You know, who knows? But that's something to consider. What y'all think? How you feeling about LeBron right now? Let me know in the comments. Do you think this is the end? Do you think he's going to do yet another season? Do you think it's selfish to do another season? Do you think he has it in him to do another season? All of that. Let me know. Tell me where y'all at on that, where you stand on that. Tell me who you got getting this chip, this NBA chip this year. A lot of people are starting to, you know, well, not a lot of people, people I know. Shout out to my man Larry. Larry, like, he think the Knicks is going to take it, this the whole thing. He feel like this is the year. I don't know. You know how I feel. I would love to see it, and I definitely feel like, listen, if these Knicks take this championship, oof. That celebration is going to be like something you have never seen before in your life if you are less than 50 years old, you know. And even if you are older than 50, this is going to be a different type of upside down New York City is going to be on. It's a little crazy. It's a little crazy. I don't even know where I want to be. Because Knicks fans, there is a section, a strong subset of Knicks fans that are absolutely obnoxious. That are absolutely like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, they do it too much. I seen one cat after they swept the Sixers talking about, they had a picture of Joel Embiid, was like, go back to Africa. And this cat looked like he wasn't from America himself. I'm like, yeah, I don't like it. It's a little cringe worthy. I ain't cringe. We'll talk about cringe in a little bit. But yeah, man. What you think about the Knicks' chances? Do you think the Knicks could come out of the East? You think the Knicks could come out of the East? Do you think? Because that West is loaded. I saw Michael a while ago, a couple, maybe about last week or something, week and a half ago. It was whatever. It was very TV movie, as I expected it to be. It was very TV movie. It was cool, but it was TV movie. Say if you haven't gone to the theater, I'm gonna tell you, save that shit for streaming. You know what I mean? Especially after it's done its numbers already. I'm not even hating on it to that point. I just think it was just very paint by numbers. It was very superficial. There was no real depth. The characters, it was really just characters that had any real, and I don't even want to say depth, but that were fleshed out, was Michael, Joe, maybe Quincy, and Bubbles. Those are the characters that kind of had a load. They were fleshed out for the most part. Everybody else was just kind of background. Nia Long, I know that she out here fighting because they had the Favorite Nations thing. She was supposed to get the same amount as everybody else. And I hope she get that. But, and then they allegedly cut a lot of her scenes because she just looking. There's about two scenes where she really gets to, like, speak as Catherine Jackson. Everything else is just, she just looking from afar. Mm-hmm. Looking like that, like, just looking. Oh, damn, look at that. Damn, Joe. Coleman Domingo did his thing as Joe Jackson. I think Bubbles, for the most part, was AI, I think, you know. Bubbles did what it was supposed to do. You know, furry, annoying a little bit. You know, the cat Jafar. He was a cool Michael Jackson. He was a good Michael Jackson. He did what he needed to do. He hit the mark. It was very after school special. It makes me want to go see the old school Jackson 5 movie. Was it the Jackson 5 American Dream or whatever, the one with Angela Bassett and everybody? I might want to see that. I might want to, I'm talking ideally. This is probably not going to happen because I don't think I'm going to dedicate 4 hours to it. But I would say I would do a double feature, and it's like a Jackson's versus, the old Jackson's movie versus this Jackson's movie. And we'll see which one is better. Drake's album is coming this week, coming this Friday. Yo, Iceman. Old Aubrey Graham, the Iceman, is coming this Friday. It's been a minute. It's been a minute coming up off of that L. I'm excited to hear it. Like, I'm really excited to, I hope it's a good album. That's all. I really hope it's a good album. I think the cat needs a win. And I hope it's good to where it's undeniably good, to where cats, I had to give him his props. I do feel like the excitement don't seem that palpable for the week of release. You know, like, I feel like for a little while, it was a lot of, it felt like some excitement, but maybe I'm not tapped in. Maybe I'm on the wrong algorithm. I just don't see that many. It feels very quiet. I'm sure it's people going to stream the shit out of it, but I don't know. It felt like there's no promo coming up. I know he shot a video. I guess all of this is just going to, it's just all going to land on impact when it comes out. Boom, here's a new video, whatever, whatever. I guess it's not too much prologue to this shit. You know, it's like, let's not talk about it. Let's be about it. Here you go. Wow. I just hope this shit is good. That's all. I just hope this shit is good. Let me know what you think. Let me know your thoughts. First of all, let me know what you think going in. And then after Friday, you know, jump in the comments. Let me know what you think about the album. I listened to the new AZ album, Do or Die 3. 30 years since Do or Die, the first one. I like this shit a lot. I like it a lot. I've spun it at least twice. Yeah, I listened to it in the whip, and I listened to it on the cleanup. You know, two good contexts to really listen to it out and process an album. And I like it a lot. I actually like the fact that, you know, he revisited Do or Die. Like, songs, kind of recreated songs, updated songs, you know, topics and characters and things like that. But not in a corny way. In a way that was not even subtle, but just in a way that it made sense. It didn't feel gimmicky, you know? His flow's still crazy. His bars are still sharp. Production was solid. It's a good one, you know? Score one for the 90s set. For the old heads, the OGs, score another point for us. You know, there's a good amount of cats from that generation, you know, that are still out here looking good, still out here making good music, not sounding dated, you know, pushing the line, you know, which is good to see. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. I you know, feels good. Feels good. He's got a song on there called No Lactose. I thought it was more so about a drug reference, but it's also the fact, I guess, he spoke to us like he can't really drink milk. I've never been one of these people that can't drink milk. I know that's a thing amongst the black community. There's a lot of black people that don't rock with lactose. Lactose intolerant. I don't, you know what I mean? But for whatever reason, that is not hitting me. And I know a lot of people, as they get older, they get a little bit more intolerant to the lactose or whatever. They don't drink milk, or they go with all of the alt milks, whether it's oat, almond, and, you know, all these other cashew and shit like that. I still rock with the cow, you know. Speaking of which, that Stu Leonard's coffee milk. If you ever go to Stu Leonard's, they got a few flavored milks. And the one I wanted to try first is the coffee milk, and that shit is fantastic. It's a little dangerous, honestly. I'm like, damn, I could, I need to chill. Because I'm sure it got all types of sugar in it. It don't have no nutrition label on the bottle at all. So you don't even know what's going on, but the shit tastes amazing. I saw a couple movies this week. I watched a couple movies this week. One good, one whatever. I watched this movie, Teorema. I forget my name, Pasolini. He's an Italian director, old school Italian director. He did, I think he's Italian. He did Salo, which is one of the movies that you don't need to watch it. But if you do watch it, it's probably one of the most repulsive movies you will ever see. It's like, I am not endorsing it at all. I will just tell you, if you watch it, I've warned you not to watch it. The shit is crazy. But Teorema, It was whatever. It wasn't even that good. It wasn't that good. It's not even really worth talking about. It's one of the movies that I seen, you know, recommended. And I was like, let me check it out. And yeah, I wish I could get my 2 hours back. But another old movie I watched was The Sting. Old movie with Paul Newman and Robert Redford. And it was good. It was like a nice little, I guess like a grifter kind of heist movie. Just a get over. Just catch just getting over and like going to extreme lengths to finesse a cat for big money, you know, but like really putting on a production. This wasn't just sleight of hand. Now this shit was this was like, we got PAs, we got background actors, we got a whole slew of people, because we about to get this bread. We about to make this cat. You know, and it was one of those. So it was Robert Redford and Paul Newman. I couldn't tell who was who throughout the whole shit. The cat that I thought was Paul, I'm like, that's Paul Newman, right? You know, because I know Paul Newman's face from the Lemonade and all of that. And I didn't know. I thought that Robert Redford was older than Paul Newman, just because I felt like I heard of Robert Redford before Paul Newman, and Robert Redford just sounded like an older guy. Turns out Paul Newman was older than Robert Redford. You know, they did Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid together too, which I think I'm gonna watch. They got good chemistry. But yeah, it was a good movie. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it. It was a fun movie to watch. Kind of like I said last week, Shampoo. It's like one of the movies where it was like, I bet this was cool. I don't need to get too deep into analysis or whatever. It's just a good movie. A fun time, you know, good storyline. The payoff was satisfactory. Mother's Day night, got done eating, was about to sit down, watch the roast of Kevin Hart as a family. Got the whole family. I'm excited for it. My brother-in-law's excited for it. Everybody, you know, we got a nice little group, different ages, men, women, you know, we all black. And we watched the roast. It was cool. I wish it was blacker. If I'm being honest with you, I wish that shit had more black people. And I was bugged out. Like, yo, why nobody acknowledged Tiffany Haddish? She's sitting there the whole time. Not one motherfucker say, hey, yo, there go Tiff. Not one. It was distractingly weird. Like, yo, what the fuck is going on? But, that was it, really. I wish it was blacker. I wish some of the material was just a little bit more clever. There's a lot of low-hanging racist fruit, you know? A lot of hate that was disguised as jokes that make me as a comic be like, do I not get the joke? Or was that some bullshit? You know? But it was what it was. Watched it. It was cool to watch as a family. It has good moments. It has cringe moments. That's what it is. That's what a roast is, right? That's what roast culture is. Roasts are no holds barred, all out, you know. It's not really meant to be commodified. It's not really meant to be for mass appeal. You know what I'm saying? Like this, that's typically what it is. Culturally, I wish it kind of, in my mind, reflected more Kevin Hart than just roast production. It felt like, you know, I guess that's a lane for a certain comic. So it's gotten to the point to where if you're going to do a roast, these certain people need to be there to make it, I guess, to make it seem, to give it the through line of all roasts. These are the roasters. These are the people. But I just think that culturally, there was a disconnect. And I like to think that Kevin Hart is very much a culturally in touch comedian, but it just, you know, I don't think the day has really reflected it, to be totally honest with you. But that's it. Let us talk about Euphoria. Let's talk about Euphoria, season 3, episode 5, This Little Piggy. This was a good episode. I enjoyed it. I haven't even listened to none of the recaps or watched or read any of the things. I just got my own notes. I liked it. I did see when I went to the IMDb page just for the like for the cast and crew, if I need to reference somebody, I seen that they ranked it, they gave it like a 6.3 or something, as opposed to some of these other episodes that have gone out. And I think this is one of the better episodes of the season in my mind. Like, it had a lot going on, but not in a way that was too much like that last episode. This one was good. The show is well shot. There were so many moments where it was just like they were just having fun with it. This reminds me of maybe, I guess, season two, where Sam was just having a little fun. I think he did a thing where he kind of recreated the Morgan Freeman movie. I forget what Morgan Freeman movie it is, but with Zendaya. I forget the name of the movie, but he kind of just recreated a movie. I like what he did with Cassie and like the 100-foot woman. I don't know I can't remember what the reference is, but like, I just like how they were having fun with all of that as she's getting bigger in profile, just how she's coming through the city, tearing through the city. I thought that was kind of cool. It's interesting. Back to compartmentalization, right? You know, I've always liked Sydney Sweeney in Euphoria. I think for most of these actresses, Sydney Sweeney, Alex Demi, obviously Zendaya, I think this is kind of their best work out here. You know what I mean? Like, that's something I feel like. I think if you really want to see how good Zendaya is as an actress, watch Euphoria, because it gives her an opportunity to kind of showcase her range more than some of these other vehicles that she'll bring people out for, but I feel like it'd be lacking a little bit. But and not in chops wise, but I just feel like interiority or whatever, the character don't really do her justice. But I think the same can be said for Sydney Sweeney, right? And obviously that whole jeans thing and MAGA Jason kind of got me looking at her sideways. But when I see her as Cassie in this show, I'm like, yo, homegirl is good with this role. Like, she embodies that shit. Like, because it's like, this show is like a song. Like, it's like a band. They're getting the band back together. And it's been so long to where you've seen some of these people bring these characters to life, that it's like, oh, this is what it is. This is what I remember. Because I think in the hiatus that they were going, there's been certain productions that have kind of cribbed a little bit from the Euphoria aesthetic, or even just character-wise, or, you know, like pushing boundaries and aesthetic and all of that type of thing. So when you see what influenced a lot of these more newer productions doing them in their prime, you're like, okay, this is what it's about. This is what it's about. So, like, the moments with Maddie and Cassie, like, that felt like classic Euphoria, which is hilarious to say classic Euphoria. Euphoria's been around for, what, 5 years or something? But, like, classic Euphoria, like, to see that chemistry, that them on screen with that tension between them as frenemies or whatever, right? So I just thought it was a good episode. You see Cassie like her profile rising, and it's like she really breaking through and she's starting to make some money, but she's still somewhat of a bleeding heart. So she's sending money over to Nate, because I guess they just separated. You know, that's still at the moment her husband, you know, and he over there struggling. He is struggling. When they, like I said, it's well shot. So when they shoot, like when they show Nate at the crib, and it's a big ass spot, but it's looking terrible. Look like he need to clean up in there. He's struggling. You could see you could smell the struggle through the screen. So you see that. You could see the desperation, how it affects all of them. Nate is now, he's a little bit more encouraging about all of this. Yo, show some skin shit. You know, now he's suggesting. He got a suggestion about, yo, listen, why don't you, you know what I mean, show just a little bit more titty. The people need to see some titty. You know, like, what could it hurt? We need the money. You know, Cassie, even as she's, you know, taking it to the next level, she's still thirsty and desperate, right? So, like, when the dude Brandon, he tells Cassie, listen, I don't know if you noticed, but Maddie's not a manager. Maddie's just an assistant. She's like, what are you talking about? Nah, man, he worked for a woman. She does this. She, you know, she checks emails. She opens mail. You know what I mean? Like, she cleans up dog shit. He ain't say that, but they show her doing that. Like, she works under somebody. She's not the boss that she pretends to be. Cassie don't really want to believe it because Maddie played the role well. Maddie had played that role well. Like, got her under a spell, right? And it's funny when she says it. She's like, Maddie's my best friend, you know? And it's interesting. It's convenient, right? Is it really your best friend? Y'all been through a lot. I don't know if she would call you her best friend. So it's very interesting because there's a lot of pimps circling Cassie. A lot of pimps, whether it's Nate, whether it's Maddie, whether it's Brandon with Drill House LLC. Drill House is crazy. Drill House LLC. So Brandon, like, listen, you know, you working with Maddie, she can't take you to that next level. I could get you to that next level. We over here, we got our own videographers. We over, look at us. Look at us over there. They got the cats doing the TikToks live and all of that. Once a cat get an LLC, boy, you can't tell a motherfucker. LLC and some followers, boy, you can't tell a motherfucker he ain't a fucking a corporation. But he's like, listen, I could get it. I could get you in there. I get you popping. You know, I'll send you over a contract. So he sent over a contract. She signed the contract. I guess she don't bring it back to Brandon, but she signs the contract. I'm assuming she didn't bring it back to Brandon. But who knows? Maybe she's signed to two people. So she sets up a meeting with Maddie. And she says, I want to meet you at your apartment. So she meets her at her apartment. She see, again, you see, like, oh, matter of fact, she calls Maddie at her job. Maddie picks up the phone, says, this is such and such's office. Cassie's like, oh, so they wasn't lying. And Maddie like, damn, she caught me. You know, it's only so long fake managers can pretend. You know what I'm saying? And it's not like she a fake manager. She's a manager. That's kind of the hierarchy of the game that a lot of people don't realize, right? You know, once you in the game on any level, you start to realize how it's done and you use whatever resources you got to make your play. So anyway, Cassie's like, I bet, let's meet. I want to meet with you and I want to talk to you. I got something I want to speak on. I want to come to your apartment though. So she comes to her apartment. She see Maddie. Maddie is not what she thought was going on. You know, Maddie living hard. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's not Beverly Hills. So Cassie walks in. She says, huh. One of my favorite lines that Cassie has, she says, after everything I've been through, I'm sensitive to lies. I thought that shit was funny. She plays her character well. They both play their character well. So then, you know, they have this whole thing. Cassie's hemming and hawing, talking about, you know, I'm just trying to take things to the next level and whatever. And Maddie's like, I mean, what you trying to say? Say what you want to say. Stop beating around the bush. She playing hard poker. You know, even exposed, she still holds it to her guns, right? Cool as a fan, right? So finally, Cassie's like, I think I'm going to, reached out to me. Brandon wants me to sign with them. She's like, okay. Or I think I want to go separate ways. I want to do my own thing. Maddie's like, all right, fine. That's cool. And she gets up, fakes a call. Hey, listen, you know that LA Knights audition? Yeah, the one for Cassie? Yeah, let's cancel that. She's not available. All right, you take it easy. Click, click. Cassie's like, yo, wait, whoa. She's so thirsty. She chased like a cat chasing a feather. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever opportunity is in front of her, she gonna paw at it. Like, right? So she's like, yo, what's going on? I don't know. You can get me an audition. Meanwhile, this is a TV show that her sister is working on, right? So it's so funny how close Cassie could be, but so like disconnected. So anyway, she's like, well, I mean, you know, I'm trying to do certain things, you know, but if you're not with me, you're not with me. I don't represent you. I can't do nothing. She's like, whoa, no, I want to stay. So Maddie pulls out a full on contract. Wow. And I'm sure that shit is ironclad. I'm sure that shit is from the old school Puff contract. You know what I mean? No Puff and everything. Super 360, 720, nigga. Anyway, she says, yo, sign this. Of course, Maddie don't read. I mean, Cassie don't read anything. Signs it. She's so thirsty for an audition. So she says, all right, I'll make something happen. Cassie leaves. Maddie goes to the set. Hawks down Lexi. Yo, Lexi, just throw her on the list. I know, you know what I mean? No, I'm not doing that. I know that's your sister. Just throw her on the list. Lexi ain't trying to hear it. And Maddie is like, do you want to make me an enemy? I like that shit. Do you want to make me an enemy? Lexi don't want that problem. She's like, ah, shit. I bet. Puts her on the thing. Maddie, I mean, Cassie shows up for the audition. Obviously, she's not using her married last name. She's using her other last name. And she drops the fact that Lexi is her sister and all of this. She comes through with this over-the-top Shakespeare monologue that's very over-the-top, but she is so locked in and delivers it with a certain type of intensity that is so naked and no self-consciousness to it. Just like, it's just straight tunnel vision. But spirited, and it does well. It does well. So much so, like, Lexi comes in. She's watching the EPs and everybody and the little, around the monitors or whatever, Video Village or whatever. They watching the audition tape, and then they got their comments. I can't believe she did Shakespeare or whatever. And Lexi is like, she cringed out. She's like, I can't believe this. This your sister, huh? Yes, my sister. I'm surprised she ain't saying, not really. You know, but I have sister. You know, whatever the fuck. Like, y'all don't even look. I like that line. She was like, y'all don't even look like each other. She was like, yo, but if she could do Shakespeare, she could do L.A. Nights. Lexi like, what? Thinking like, oh, hell no. So she goes. She's the one that breaks to Cassie. Cassie's over there hustling, throwing, you know what I mean, worn panties in the mail. You know what I'm saying? Just getting whatever bread she can get, $50 worn panties. She's just throwing them shits in there. And then Lexi's like, yeah, you got the gig. You know, job applicant, I think the role is. She's hype. She's like, yo, watch. We're going to look back at this. It's just the beginning. You know what I mean? Like, she's so ambitious. Like, you know, just the beginning. I can't wait. Lexi is disgusted. She's like, you're so narcissistic. You're the most narcissistic person, self-centered person I've ever seen in my life. She storm off, opened the umbrella in the house. You know what I'm saying? Pure disrespect and bad luck. She get up out of there. So that's kind of what's going on with Cassie, right? Same time, we seeing, this is a good episode for Alamo. We seeing Alamo. Alamo's a weird character. Just when I want to say he's silly and almost like a punchline, then there's some layers to him, right? Like, it's just not like a caricature. There are some layers to this role. Adebisi, I don't want to call him as old. So out of Wiley, my man playing him, he's getting busy as Alamo. So like, there's moments when I'm like, immediately, there's a moment I was like, oh, they playing him kind of silly, right? But then there's the layers to him, right? He's silly, he's real self-conscious, he cares a lot about how he's perceived and how people look at him, you know? But then on the other side, he's absolutely violent and don't really have much remorse, is really not loyal to anybody, but expects the most loyalty. And at the end of the day, he plays a solid trumpet. Get his motherfucking Miles Davis on, just out the blue. So there's things that's going on. So there's a moment where he's trying on some slacks that Kid got for him. I guess Kid got the wrong slacks and them shits is fitting like high waters. And he's like, yo, hold on. Are these my slacks? Do these slacks look like they fit me? It's real Joe Pesci Goodfellas, but without the comic relief. These slacks look like they fit me? I'm 6'2". These are slacks for a 5'9 cat. What you got me in here? This is how you see me? You know, he's very particular about how he's being seen. I need to be taken serious at all times. So, like, he like, coming for kid. Kid's like, yo, it's an honest mistake. I must have grabbed the wrong pants. My bad. I'm sorry. Da-da-da-da. He slapped him up. Bop, bop. Got the ice pick. Looked like he might just stab this kid. This kid named Kid. But, he just slams it right in front, like right by him. Bow, scares the shit out of the kid. So then, you know, he just, I guess he keeps his people in check for the most part. You know, there's a moment where him and G, Marshawn Lynch's character, they go back and forth. And G's like, yo, you putting words in my mouth. You know what I mean? It's like, he's like, everybody, I don't really like bow to him. You know, there's respect there. You know, and a little bit of deference, but they not, everybody ain't cowering. So he's feeling the way, he's starting to feel like something's going on with this Rue situation. Just feels like, again, starting to feel like she can't be trusted, right? And there's a moment at the beginning of the episode where we think that Alamo has her cordoned off in a room, like waiting to be summoned, right? And then Bishop comes in there and he comes in there with like a bone saw or a jigsaw, you know, an electric jigsaw. And he got this like plastic jumpsuit on and shit. And, you know, like a little shower cap, you know, all of the shit that you would wear if you're about to disfigure somebody and you don't want no blood on your real clothes. So he walking in there. And I think he knows that, you know, Rue is scared to death. So he plays with it. He's like, you know, some people, they just... They, you know, they just seem like they have a bad energy about them, you know, and you want to get rid of that energy, you know. And he said, you know, you've been giving me the heebie-jeebies for a while now. Rue shook. She looking at everything. She thinking it's her last days. He says, yo, Alamo told you, wants you to come out there and go speak to him. So she runs off, and then Bishop calmly walks over to a dude that's hidden in the closet, and shit, you know, fucking disfigures him. You know, you hear the kid crying for a minute and they cut, you know, and obviously these cats are fucking violent. You know, that's what they deal in violence, right? So I forget what happens. What it is that triggers Alamo's distrust this time, but he's basically like, yo, let's keep an eye on her. Something's wrong or something's off here. So anyway, later on, we see another thing. We see Rue and Jules. They get together and they back to their little, I don't say cat and mouse thing, but they know how to push each other's buttons and get what they need out of each other or whatever. And it's funny, that, again, it's another shot that I feel like is so classic. I don't even want to call it cliche. It was cliche for a while, but it's been gone for so long that it feels classic again. But the two of them in the living room kicking it, and they're eating Chinese food with chopsticks out of the old school takeout boxes, the little fold up takeout boxes, which used to be like in every fucking movie and TV show. Especially some New York shit, especially some real, like, kind of yuppie type of thing or detective type of thing, but it was always that little takeout box and the chopsticks you eat in lo mein or whatever. And the thing is, fly. I remember when I was a kid, I was like, oh, shit, this is like the TV shit when I get Chinese food. But now, those boxes are damn near obsolete. Like, you rarely see that. You might maybe get some rice in that, but like nowadays, everybody doing like the little, either the plastic or the styrofoam. So like that, oh, it's like a throwback. It's like a throwback to a certain era. So when I see it, because that was always something that I always responded to. I always see it. I was like, oh, wow, they got the Chinese food takeout boxes. That's fly. You know, that shit fly. I remember back in college, we did a surprise party for a friend of mine. And it was around Valentine's Day, right? The birthday party. And it was me and this girl putting the surprise party together. We was working together and we had this whole this whole creative vision for how it was going to be. So we had, like, we found, went to this one spot, found these red Chinese food, small Chinese food takeout boxes, but they were red. And we put, like, we got some, a bunch of fortune cookies and shit like that. And then you put the information about what the party's going to be. But since they red, and the party wasn't going to be maybe a week after Valentine's Day, we put the shits out on Valentine's Day, but, like, you know, drop it off by somebody's car, drop it off on somebody's somebody's doorknob, like, but real inconspicuous. Nobody could see who's getting the shit out. So certain people are getting the invite, and it's starting to be like a little bit of a stir. Like, people are like, yo, you got invited to such and such, you know? And homie, who's girl is putting the whole thing on, was like, they had plans to go hang out for his birthday, but he like, I don't want to go to this party. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to cancel that and go to this party. I need to go to this shit. This shit look like it's going to be cracking. And I'm trying not to expose the shit, but I was like, fam, I don't know. I think you might want to, long story short. Oh, man, nigga fucked it up. He broke up. I think Shorty trying to go to the party that she was throwing for him, broke up with her so he could go to that party. And little did you know, you fucked up the party. Ah, it was hilarious. But anyway, that's a tangent. Shout out to everybody involved. I ain't say no names, but yeah, man. Woo-wee. And it was known for a while as the party that never happened. It was one of the dopest parties that had. The shit was playing to the T. That shit would have been fire. And nope. Sorry. Anyway, but everybody's doing well now. Everybody's rocking out. Anyway. So when I see those little takeout boxes, I think about all of that type of shit. So yeah, so you see Jules, I guess, you know, her and Rue got busy in her sugar daddy's spot. Her sugar daddy, you know, he just got done having sex with Jules, and he go in the bathroom and he sees some boxes just strewn there, right? He's like, hold on, you fucking other dudes in my house? And she's like, no, it's not a dude, it's just my homegirl, da 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 da. She just came through. Meanwhile, he's like, who's RB? And I laugh because I'm like, yo, who puts their initials in their underwear? That's not like a kid away at camp. Like, who's an adult single person with their initials in their drawer? Like, that's weird to do that. But again, there's certain moments where you just realize he's a kid still, kind of, not anymore. But, you know, like, they fresh out of high school. So maybe that was how things was at the house. Maybe her mom's put her initials in them drawers. Who knows? But it was just kind of, it was a little weird. Nate getting money from Cassie but not paying his debt. Cat came through, threw him another beating, snatched off his detachable toe. This time clipped his wedding, his ring finger. That's gone. Nate going. It's tough for Nate. It's tough. Okay. So last thing that happens is Rue and Maddie, they wind up going to the diner. I think one of the diner that she used to go to see Ali. Funny enough, we only seen Ali in the first episode. He ain't really pop up since. Maybe Coleman was mad busy or whatever, but like he hasn't popped up again since the first episode. Anyway, Rue and Maddie are at the diner and they chopping it up, catching up on what's going on, and Maddie is telling Rue about this whole thing with Cassie, and Rue was like, do you trust her? She was like, nah, not really. I trust her to basically be who she is, but she's a client, whatever, whatever. So they talking, and Alamo pulls up. And Rue is shook. Alamo pulls up. He meets Maddie. He says, hey, can I sit down? He sits down in the booth with them. And Maddie kind of cool. Like, she peeping it. She peeping, like, you know, she peeps the dynamic. She peeped Rue getting a little uncomfortable. And she's like, oh, this is Alamo. Oh, you run the strip clubs. Alamo like, oh, so you did tell her a little bit about me. And then, you know, she got her own little wits about her, and they charming them, and they talking, and then ultimately Alamo's like, yo, Bishop and G are outside. They're going to pick you up. Go outside and wait for them. She's like, Maddie, then we need to go hang out. When you going to take me somewhere? And Maddie like, nah, what you talking about? So Rue just goes out there and surrenders to whatever fate is going to happen to her. And then now it's just Maddie and Alamo sitting across from each other, pimp to pimp, just, you know what I mean, talking about how they get money. Alamo's asking her, you know, what she does, how she's getting this. She says, I manage people, you know, I manage people. I could do this. I've turned this person into, they make X amount of dollars. She's telling her kind of what she could do. And he's like, well, what do you need? So I need money. And then he's like, you know, and I pick women. He's like, well, I got a whole lot of women. He's like, well, what if your women are chopped? He's like, oh, why don't you come see? So they like, I bet. They go over to the Silver Slipper, and she pulls two. You know, she winds up taking Kitty and old Neck Brace, and they look like they about to work with each other. And it's weird because it's like, does Maddie know what she getting herself into? She's just somebody that's just looking at opportunities, taking it as it comes. You know, everybody's out here just taking it as it comes. It's, you know, it's kind of that part of life where it's just like, I'm trying to establish myself. Whatever opportunities come my way, I'm not shit, man. I ain't turning nothing down but my collar. You know what I mean? That type of old shit. So that's what's going on with that. Then on the other side, Bishop and G pick up Rue. They driving her off to the desert. Bishop, G, and Kid driving her off to the desert. Or actually, I'm sorry, Bishop picks up Rue. Where's Bishop and D? Whomever. I think Kid is at the desert already. Anyway, they drive her out to the desert. On the way out there, Bishop is like, yo, let me get your phone. Rue's like, why? It's like, do I need a reason? So she surrenders her phone. And then she gets out there in the middle of the desert. They got a shovel. And Bishop's like, she's like, yo, go dig a hole. It's like, well, how? For what? Just dig a hole. So it's like, how deep? She's digging the hole. He's like, up until your neck. And she's like, huh? You know, she still don't realize that she's digging her own grave damn near. So she digs the shit. And she digging fast than a motherfucker. I ain't never dug a fucking damn near 6-foot hole before in my life. But that shit seemed like that would take a long time. You know what I mean? That shit seems like it would like take a long time. So she digging the shit. Shit is up to her neck. They pull up on her. She's like, all right, guys, can you help me get out? And they just start throwing dirt on her. She's like, yo, what's going on? This ain't funny. What are y'all doing? She can't get out. They throwing dirt on her. They throw dirt. They bury her to her head. And she just got her head coming out the fucking the dirt. And I guess she's there for at least hours. And then old Alamo show up with the polo mallet. And one of his horses from the stable. He just gallops down to the damn, to the desert. And he coming through swinging the motherfucking polo mallet. Coming at approaching Rue. And he swings. And then that shit goes to black. And that's the cliffhanger. No, I don't think he's going to knock her head off. Maybe he's just scanning the shit out of her. I don't know what's happening. It would feel like it would be too early to lose Rue, but who knows? They said this is supposed to be some real closure going on here. That would be a bold choice to eliminate your number one protagonist on the show. I don't think that's going to happen. But it was good. It was a good episode. I found myself clapping at the end. I live by myself and shit. That's I don't know if that's sad. I was like, yeah. It's just a fucking room full of one. Anyway, yeah, so that was that, man. I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. I'm locked in. Last week kind of had me, you know, but this week I'm like, okay, we got it. We had a good time. So that's that. That's that. Let me know what you think. Hit me in the comments. Let me know if you're still watching Euphoria. What else are you watching? I'm still out here watching Your Friends and Neighbors. It's been cool. I haven't jumped into that Nature Boy documentary. I'm probably going to check that out at some point this week. Any other suggestions, shoot them my way. If I got the time, I'll watch. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend, and even an enemy, to get in the conversation.
Conversation.